Good seeing you all. Good greeting you all. So nice to be in the house of God on today. I believe I said 1 John 2:20. And Lord, once again, we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that's a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our pathway. Lord, help us illuminate the way. Thank you, Lord, that you've left your word so we know how to live, we know how to walk, we know how to talk, we know how to think, we know how to speak, we know how to love, we know how to forgive, we know how to serve, we know how to help, because your word tells us how to. Thank you, Lord, that it's not a mystery how to live for you. The message is clear. Thank you so much for your word. Now speak to us through your word, Lord, and give us instruction on how to live this, not just to be hearers, but to be doers as well. Thank you for your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 John 2:20. That's where I want to be. Amen. Says, but you have a unction, you have an anointing from the Holy One, which means the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we've been studying for the last month or so on light and darkness, on walking in the light and being the light because Jesus is the light. So we've been talking about light and darkness and that how light really has no fellowship with darkness. We've been talking about being salt of the earth. We've been talking about how to love. And so then Jesus tells us that we have the Holy Spirit, which is part of the triune God. It's just God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said the Holy Spirit is our helper. We talked about, make a note of it, if you remember in Acts 5:3, that you can lie to the Holy Spirit. It is a person, it's part of the Godhead. There's some argument that it's the Spirit, it's not a person, but your scriptures show that you can lie to it, then obviously it's something of a persona, personification, it's a person, you can lie to it. In Ephesians, turn with me to Ephesians 4, and Natalie, you already know we're gonna be all over the place. It was Ephesians 4:30. And we found out that you could grieve the Holy Spirit, that you could make the Holy Spirit sad. You can disappoint it. The Holy Spirit is trying to figure out why I always have to get left out. Why are you going here and there and you're leaving me at home? Why I'm not invited to the club with you? Why can't I go with you when you leave at 1 a.m. and go somewhere? Why can't I go? Why do you leave me? And it says you grieve. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Are you there? Ephesians 4:30. It says, whereby you are sealed. Underline sealed if you haven't already. Unto the day of redemption. It says you're marked. That seal means that you're marked. You're oiled up. You are sealed. God puts his mark on you until he comes back for you and I. So that's good news that Jesus Christ is coming back for us. And the evidence of that is the Holy Spirit. It says it's a down payment. So God has put a down payment on you and I. He's put a deposit. And you all know, well, most of you all, you took out withdrawals this month. You didn't deposit much this month. Everything was, I need. It was spending, but God's put down a deposit. And he's coming back for what he's deposited. Anything that you deposit into your bank account belongs to you. Because you put it there. So when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart along with Christ, and then that's the deposit, that's the mark, that's the seal that God has put on us. So we belong to God, but it also gives us the power to think like God, to act like God, to live for God. He said until he comes back and redeem it. And here's the analogy. I was listening to the news like I normally do, and they say that it's gift cards. How many of you receive gift cards for Christmas? How many of you ever seen a gift card? Okay. They said it's some ridiculous number of gift cards that have not been redeemed. Somewhere between, I don't know, 400 million and a billion that haven't been redeemed, that's just sitting there. I think half of them are on my dresser, okay? I start using those things. So that's just, they're there for the taking to be used. So that's what God is saying. He's redeemed us. But people will walk by and say, that's okay. God, I don't want no part of it. And that's not on God, that's on us. So God has redeemed us. The free gift is there, just like the gift card. You have it, whether you spend it or not, it can stay on your dresser. And then somebody else will come and say, you know what? I want it. And the thing about God is that he's redeemed anyone who wants, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be rescued. Young or old, you call on the name of the Lord, he will rescue you. What has he redeemed us from? He's redeemed us from being a slave to sin. Before you accepted Christ, you had no choice. Whatever your flesh told you to do, you did it. But once you've been sealed with that Holy Spirit, you have a choice. We say, And the Holy Spirit's talking to you. No. And that's when it gets grieved, like, ugh. And you lie to it. I'm going to be right back. I'm just make the call this time. It's going to be different this time. But God has redeemed us. So here we go. Let's talk a little bit more about the seal. Look at Ephesians 1 and 13. Ephesians 1 and 13. Look at the key words. I want you to understand. So as we're finishing 2014 and going into 2015, I want you to look at the key words and how we can step our game up and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So 1:13, it says, in whom you also trusted. Make sure you underline trusted. See, this is all part of the salvation process that we've trusted God. It says, after that, you heard the word of truth. Underline the word of truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The gospel of your salvation, the good news of your rescue, Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. In whom also after that you believed, and underline believe, because it's not just believe, but it's that word believe also means that you committed and you surrendered and you submitted to. And then you were marked with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's a promise. God doesn't break his promises. Two things God doesn't do. He can't fail and he can't lie. And then number three, he doesn't break his promises. He's coming back for us. It says, which is the down, verse 14, which is the down payment of our inheritance. Somebody say, amen, we have an inheritance. I think we talked about this before. Amen. You've inherited things from someone who's, whether it's a father, it's a relative or whatever, they pass on and they leave you. It's called an inheritance. It said, we have a down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So we have the down payment, which God has put the seal and the mark until he comes back for us because we're his purchased possession. So what does that mean? That's a tough one, because it means you really don't belong to yourself. It means that you really, once you belong to God, you just can't say, I'm just doing me. This is just how it is. This is who I am. So we have to really evaluate if we are with God, and if we're not with God, and if we're going to do this thing or stop playing games. Amen. Just go on out and do your thing. But you'd have more fun. I mean, right now, I mean, because the Bible does talk about that. I believe it was Moses said he refused to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Right, it is pleasurable. You're going to have a good time. It's going to cost you in the end. But at least I enjoyed it. I didn't try and play the game. I just went all out there because I really wasn't all in. You might as well go on out there if you're going to do it, because, you know, if you're committed to God, then that's different. But if you're not, then don't play the game. But God says we have the inheritance, purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And then look, Mark verse 15. Verse 15, I want you to put a star by it because we're going to add this to our prayer list going into 2015. Here's Paul's prayer. He says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints," underline saints, those that are sanctified, those that are set apart. So it's not just for anybody. It's for those who are truly living this. In the Catholic Church, they have saints. You have to, I don't know how you do it, but you got to work your way up to sainthood. But Christ says, when you accept me, you become sanctified through the Holy Spirit. So we're all saints.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Amen.
Sister Saint Washington. I like the way that sounds. So when it means, he says, unto all the saints, underline saints, that's important. What they say sometimes is saints and there's ain'ts. But we're saints. Just means that we've been set apart by God through this Holy Spirit. Not because we're so good or we have it together. It's because of God and accepting him. We're not good enough. We couldn't do it on our own. But he sanctifies us. So now we are saints. We're set apart for his purpose. He bought us. We can't do what we want to do with ourselves. We've been set apart. That's why we have the inheritance. And so then that's why Paul is saying, I'm praying for you. When I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, he says, verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Why? That the God, underline verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. That's what we're praying for going into 2015. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Add that to your prayer list. Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom meaning insight, discernment, and then revelation. Reveal to me, Lord. Reveal yourself to me. Reveal your plan to me. See, the difference between coming to church. See, we're not just a regular place. We're not a club. Or we're not the Rotary Club. We're not Toastmasters. This is not a seminar. Those places you go for information. But we pray when we come here that God gives us revelation. God, show me what you have for me. We don't come here for information. God, give me revelation on how to live. Give me revelation on the relationship that I'm in. Give me revelation for my kids so I can see what they don't see. Give me revelation for my marriage, for my singleness, Lord. Give me revelation on how to live this so I don't mess it up going after the counterfeit again. When you read God's word, when you're praying for revelation. It's not just for information. We can get that at the seminar. This is the house of God. This is the word of God. It's living. It's alive. And through the Holy Spirit, we get revelation. And God will show you. Add this. Sometimes you don't want to see it. Because it takes courage when God shows you something. Now I got to get my life together. Now I got to do better. Now I got to let that go and I want to hold on to it. Be careful if you, God, show me. Because when he shows you, then you got to do something with it. That's why most people, they don't want to come. They want to hear about Jesus Christ because I'm going to have to change what I'm into. Change is hard. And then not to mention the deception of the enemy to make you think what you're doing is best for you when it's really not. So it's hard to change. But we got to pray for revelation. We don't want to come here and be the same family. We don't. That's not why we come here. And you know me, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We got to get it together.
Yes.
For God. If you look into the world today, it's just slowly but surely falling apart. And it's just mind boggling to me. I mean, we're in the Christmas season, the spirit of Christmas. And I was listening to the news and hearing about all kind of crazy stuff. Do people understand what this is even about? At least one day out of the year, love somebody. At least try to. At least one day of the year, get out of yourself and think about somebody else. At least one day out of the year. Can't we put the guns down? Can't we put the violence down, the domestic stuff? Can't we just one day out of the year? How would you go rob somebody's house and kill somebody on Christmas? I mean, do we even get it? And so that's why I'm just going, if the world has the answer, then it should be peace at all times. But the world doesn't have the answer. And we see the influences of this spiritual warfare. The enemy is using people left and right. And here we are trying to navigate through it. That's why we pray for revelation. Look at verse 18. And then Paul says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that God will open your eyes, the eyes of your heart, so you can see through all this counterfeit stuff that's out there. Especially for our young folks. Young folks, don't get caught up in this stuff. Listen to your parents. Listen to your grandparents. Young folks, they've been praying for you for a long time. They can see it as just a gift that God gives us as parents, that we can see things that you can't. And we're trying to show you, don't let the enemy use you. Don't get caught up in all this stuff. It's really tough navigating through today. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in what? In the saints. It's not just for anybody. It's an exclusive club to be a saint. It is. Young folks, start telling people you belong to an exclusive club, the sanctified club. Hey, I'm telling you, I mean, because everybody wants to be a part of something. God says, I have an inheritance for you all because you're sanctified. And they say, well, that's narrow-minded, that is only for Christians. Stop right there. They have exclusive clubs everywhere. They got the Masons. You just can't walk in and say, I'm a Mason. You got to go through some type of process. Who would want to be a Mason? But you got to walk through and you got to go through the process. They have these country clubs. They have these sororities. They have these fraternities. They're all exclusive. They're the best. But look, God says, I have the most exclusive club that there is, and you're sanctified and you're part of it. Yes, it is an exclusive club. And why should we be ashamed of the exclusive club that God has given to us through his son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit? I'm not ashamed of it. I'm proud of it. See, look, because I shared this before, because the best the world can give us, let me make sure I get it right. The best the world can give us is exclusive access to temporary stuff. All right. Yep. That's the best it can do. Yep. You can get your jet, you have your private jet, but then it's going to fade away, either with or without you, and you're going to leave it for somebody else, but you had exclusive access to temporary stuff. In God's club, we have exclusive access to a permanent God and an inheritance. Now, why should you be ashamed of your club? My wife and I were watching the games. I got her watching sports with me. That is so cool. Tracy, you all right? So we're watching football, watching basketball. And then they have the commercial coming on, and they got the drinks, and they all partying, and they all, ooh, and they all exclusive, and they're doing their thing, and as if alcohol really makes you do all that. They don't show you all the domestic stuff that comes after that, the violence, the assaults. They don't show you the rehab. They don't show you the families that's torn apart. Don't believe the lie. It's not exclusive. It's not all, yeah, we partying. Young folks, don't believe the lie. Don't believe the counterfeit. Everybody wants the exclusive club. God said you're already a part of it. Be proud of it. Don't expect the world to like you or to understand it. That's why we come here, to be reminded and be refueled and renewed to understand God's word is what's real, not the counterfeit. So look what God says. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Who are committed, who surrendered, according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20, which was demonstrated in Christ when he was raised from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Put a star by 21. This is the exclusivity of this club. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Oh, my club is exclusive. And I serve the King of Kings. I don't know who founded your club and what you're part of, but I serve a God the true and living God. The power was demonstrated when he raised Christ from the dead. Yeah, I'm going to make it known this year. In 2015, I'm going to make it known that if you really want to be a part of something, you need to get on with Christ. A name above every name. All right, so let me take you back. 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Amen. Which is his body. So we're Christ's body in the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ is everything. The first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's our provider. He fulfilleth all in all. And you know what all means?
All.
That's exclusivity. Go back to Ephesians. Look over to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 and 13. I'm sorry, not 1. Ephesians 1 and 3. So Paul, he breaks it down even further in verse 1 and 3. We there? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Boy, you got to meditate on that for like all week so that can really sink in. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's part of our inheritance. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the underlying chosen us in him. See, we're selected to be in this exclusive club. Even though we thought we came to Christ, God had already chosen us. And since we don't know who he's chosen or not, that's why we go out and share the gospel to remind those who might have forgotten that God has had his hand on their life, even when they didn't want that hand there. So Paul lets us know that God has chosen us. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him. That means sanctified. We're set apart and without blame before him in love. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ has done. Verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption. Somebody underline adoption. Of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So through Jesus Christ, we've been adopted by God. Somebody should say amen. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted into the beloved. Somebody say amen. Paul talks about the process of how we became adopted, how we became a part of this exclusive club in Christ. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Somebody say amen. What atonement do you have for your sins? It can't be your good looks. It can't be your money in the bank. It can't be your job. It can't be because your grandma was saved. Well, you know, my dad was a pastor. My uncle was my grandfather. That's not it. What redemption is between you and God? Is between you and God. You have to accept Christ for yourself. Yes. Yes. Verse 8, wherein he hath abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Look at verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Somebody underline the mystery. See, that's why everybody can't get it, because it's a mystery that God reveals to his saints. Say, the wisdom of God is foolishness to man. They just can't get it. Well, how could God give his? Why would he? God's left a clear message. I was on the internet the other day, and it was celebrities that are atheists. Okay, hey, do your thing. I'm cool with it. I'll pray for you, but see, when you, and one of them was saying that if God existed, there would be evidence. Okay. See, but that's the mystery. Were you so smart that you're blind? When you're so smart, you're really dumb. And I stated before, God in all his wisdom, if he created everything, which we believe he did, is he capable of leaving a clear message on how to connect with him? And it's right in front of us. Jesus Christ, 2000 and getting ready to be 15 years ago, split time in half. Remember, most people are going to say Happy New Year. Just ask them when they say Happy New Year, ask them what makes it a new year. The calendar changed. Yeah, but why did the calendar change? Because it's a new year. But what makes it a new year? Because the calendar changed. Okay, let's get off the merry-go-round. What makes it a new year? Let's go to what made it a first year? No evidence? Are you kidding me? And other religions will tell you that Jesus was a good man or he was a prophet. And then I ask them, well, what about when other prophets died? Did time stop and start over? Time only stops and start over for God. Jesus never claimed to be God. That's not true. Let's go to the word. Well, I don't believe the word. Why not? Well, you know, it has so many errors. Well, you must have did a lot of research to find all those errors in the Bible. Well, I never read it. Man, come on. Come on. See, it's no evidence because people don't want there to be evidence, because then I got to get out of myself and I got to think about what I'm doing and how I'm treating people and how I'm living. And I want to stay right where I am. But I don't want to have to deal with the reality of this. But don't feel bad, folks. Don't feel bad, family. See, because in verse 9 it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. God said, I've chosen you. I'm making known the mystery. Please share it. See, the difference between our club, our exclusive club, is that it's open to anyone who wants to be a part of it. It's open to anyone who wants to be a part of it. That's why when we stand before God, we will be without excuse. We cannot tell God, well, I didn't think there was evidence. Well, the sun going up and coming down wasn't enough for you? How does that happen? I mean, just simple stuff. But that's why Paul was praying in verse 18 that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that God will open our eyes so we can see the hope in him. And then in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Underline that. He's talking about the inheritance. Don't you ever forget, God, we have an inheritance in Christ. So even like the rich young ruler, if I knew what scripture I'd turn, I don't know it by heart, but when he said, I've kept all the commandments since I was a youth. What do I need to do? Jesus told him, go and sell all that you have, because I have riches for you in heaven. He missed that part. All he heard was go sell all you have. He said he went away sorrowful because he had a lot of stuff. He missed the part where Jesus said, I have treasures in heaven stored up for you. Because he was thinking of a physical inheritance. And Christ was saying, I have so much, bless you. Christ was saying, I have so much stored up for you in heaven. God never takes anything without giving us anything. He didn't say, give me all you have. He said, give me everything. Go sell everything you have. Give to the poor because I have treasures for you in heaven. He never says, give up this and I have nothing for you. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He said, you come after me, you'll find everything you've been looking for. But we have to fight through the temptations and the frustrations and the distractions and the haters to see God and all that he has for us. All right, let me finish this off. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God doesn't have to seek counsel from anybody else. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first did what? Trusted in Christ. Wow. Let me finish you off with Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and 6. So we understand that God doesn't think like we think. That's why we ask God to reveal to us what he had in mind when he created us. What is the will for our life, Lord? What is your will for this person that I'm dating? What is your will for my marriage, Lord? What is your will for my kids? What is your will for our church, our ministry? Lord, always reveal to me. Don't give me information, Lord. I don't want that. I could get that anywhere, but I only get revelation from you. Did I say Isaiah 55 and 6, Natalie? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Somebody say amen. See, this club is open to anyone who wants to be a part of it. And this is where I was going. Where people want to try and figure out God, you can't, because verse 8 says, this is God speaking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Somebody highlight that. Well, God, why would you not need to know? Stop right. We don't think alike. You can't figure God out. Our minds, he created us. We didn't create him. God says we're on a totally different page. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We don't think alike, we don't act alike. Don't try and get on my level. That's what God's saying. You can't handle it up here. You can't. And imagine if God just showed us a glimpse of things that were going to happen in 2015. We'd be afraid to walk out the door. If God said, okay, you really want to know what's going to happen next year? Do you really need to know everything? No, I'm cool. I'll trust you with it, God. We wouldn't want to walk out the door. But thank God we can trust in him. Verse 9, he says, for as the heavens are as higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10, for as rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He's given an analogy. He's saying rain comes down from heaven and snow, it doesn't go back up. And he compares it to his word in verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. God's word comes out. This word will not come back empty. That's why we go out and we share the gospel with those. Because we plant that seed, God waters the seed. We plant the seed, someone else waters, God gives the increase. And you don't know what's been going on in their life when you share that word, but you know it's not going to come back empty. Even if they turn you away and flip you off and say, get out my face, that word is not going to return to God empty. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you should go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up a fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up a myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Get out there. Let's go to work. Let's share the good news. Let's see who we can influence to be a part of the kingdom of God as we've been instructed to make disciples. Let us pray. So, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your word. Thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that seals us, that's oiled us up, that's marked us, Lord. And when you come back, you're going to look into our heart. You're going to see Christ. You're going to see the Holy Spirit. You're going to see the mark, and you're going to take us to be with you. Because you've deposited your Holy Spirit in us. Thank you, God, for sealing us. Thank you for putting your mark on us. Now, God, give us the courage and the strength to share you with others. People are searching, Lord. We know your word is not going to come back to you void, but it's going to accomplish that which you sent it out to do. Let us stop trying to figure you out and figure things out and just trust you. Let us trust you in 2015 like never before. Praying now, Lord, maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ into my heart. I don't have the seal. I don't have the mark of the Holy Spirit. Never accepted Christ into my heart. If that's you, elevate your hand. You don't have to guess. You can be sure today. If you're not sure, if you're saved, elevate your hand. What a great way to start the new year and to finish 2014, knowing that you're saved, knowing that you're walking with God, knowing that God has covered you. If that's you, elevate your hand. You want to get saved this morning. Or maybe you want to rededicate your life. You say 2014 was a up and down, a mixed bag of walking with God and doing my own thing, but going into 2015, I really want to walk and serve God. I want to get closer to God. I want to know. I want God to reveal his plan and purpose for my life. I want to rededicate now. I'm not going to wait till January 1. I'm going to rededicate on December 28th. If that's you, elevate your hand. You want to rededicate your life. Maybe you're looking for a church home. Say, Pastor, I didn't even have a church home last year, but I don't want to go into 2015 without a church home. We'd love to be your family here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. If that's you, elevate your hand. You're looking for a church home. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Lord, we acknowledge there's none like you. Thank you for choosing us, Lord. Thank you for putting us in your club, so to speak. Your body. Thank you for allowing us to be. It's a privilege, Lord, to serve you. It's a privilege to be called a saint, to be sanctified, to be set apart. Not that we don't have issues and problems and struggles, Lord, but you're there because we trust in you. You're there every step of the way. Open our eyes, Lord. Give us revelation and not information. Show us the plan that you have for our life. Show us what you had in mind when you created us. Don't let us flip-flop and flounder through life trying to figure it out, Lord. You've already figured it out. The plan is set. I pray that we would have the courage to follow you each and every day, to seek you first, the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Thank you for allowing us to see a new year. Thank you for allowing us to see a new day. We love you, Lord. We bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug. You are dismissed.